Hi, everybody. I'm Gus Johnson along with the governor.
He says he got all his jeans from his mom. Woo. From his mom. Woo. A lot of nylon.
A lot of excitement in the air.
Yes.
And we're ready for college basketball. College basketball. Oh, oh.
Gus.
Oh,
he's got onions. Gus, he's got onions.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to week three of the Marquette Barroom. Marquette is the highest flying team in the Big East right now with two major out-of-conference wins, and we're going to talk all about them. Ryan, welcome to the Barroom.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Welcome. It is a damn good day to be a Marquette Golden Eagle. We are ringing out Ahoyas over here. Just two massive wins. Obviously, the Purdue win speaks for itself, and then to get out of the Bahamas with a win despite all kind of the weird energy going on in that game, I think that that said a lot about the team as well, but, you know, beating the number six team at home, that's going to be the headliner of this episode.
Yeah, I think that the Marquette made the rest of the country take notice. We're talking about a team that is ranked number 10 in the country now, a team that is 12 on KenPom. This team is trending in the right direction, and they still have a lot of really good non-con games to go, but you can argue that they got their two hardest non-conference games out of the way already, and they won both of them. So they've given themselves some wiggle room, and this team looks just as good as any team in the Big East.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So let's get right into this Purdue game. We are lucky enough to be joined by Joe Jackson of Feed the Post Substack. He's on Twitter at JoeJacksonCBB, and he does Boilers in the Stands. He is our local Big Ten expert, and he's going to help us talk about this Purdue-Marquette game. So thank you so much for joining us, Joe. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on. Glad I can return the favor for you coming on the Purdue show to preview the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And it turned out to be a hell of a game and a great game for Marquette. So we wanted to get you on and talk a little bit about what kind of happened and get some of your insights from the opposite side of what Marquette did so well. Obviously, it ends up being one of the best defensive performances in Marquette in a long time. We were pretty amazed with the way that they were able to fly around, to force turnovers. What did you see in terms of Purdue offense and knowing what they like to run so much? What did you think Marquette did well there?
It just took them out of the rhythm that they like to run. Purdue is very much, they're going to run lots of sets. They've transitioned more to like more high pick and roll for Brain Smith and that, but just, it felt like they were never fully in control and never really able to get into what they want. Because the defense, right, it forced 15 turnovers for Purdue, 22% of their possessions. In a game like this where Marquette does high hedge and force Brain Smith away, generally that's, those games are like Brain Smith six turnover type games. If Purdue has a lot of them, if Purdue's struggling, and it really wasn't that. It was just that Brain Smith was able to do what he needed to do. But once he got past that, Marquette was just there everywhere. And there's so much length, and I think they played really, really well, just like in the gaps defensively of basically being like, sure, you have a 4-on-3 advantage, but like you're not gonna be able to do anything with it. And that's where Purdue, I think, really struggled of maybe Brain Smith could create a little bit, but then there was nothing to go from there. It was going to be a tough three, or they weren't even going to be able to get the pass off. And then if you did, I think it really highlighted that Purdue doesn't have a consistent like secondary perimeter creator. Fletcher Loyer has it in him in some games, but against a lot of athleticism like Marquette has, it becomes tougher for him to be able to create his own shots. It wasn't like he played bad by any means, but there is no Lance Jones this year for Purdue where it's just like, yeah, you're not the superstar, but you can go get us into the paints, go get us 10 points when we need it. Purdue didn't have that in large part because Marquette was just so overwhelming defensively.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking about the defense, I think we have to talk about Stevie Mitchell and he kind of drew the Braden Smith assignment. And I cut up the first clip of the game and Purdue wins the tip. And Stevie Mitchell goes and meets him almost three-quarter court, you know, down. And I thought that was such like a great moment of like setting the tone of like, we're just going to be in your jockstrap. One of the big enduring visuals, because I cut up the defense a lot, was of them guarding him at half court, guarding Braden Smith at half court. They weren't allowing him to get, you know, towards the 3-point line to start their offense there. The ball pressure was high. The intensity level was high. The effort level was high. You know, Zade Lowry took turns on him. Chase Ross took turns on him. They rotated. It wasn't, they didn't leave Stevie Mitchell on an island with him, but Stevie Mitchell took the assignment primarily, and I thought he was terrific. What did you see from Braden Smith?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, it's a weird, because it wasn't a good Braden Smith game, and you look at his stats, he has 11 points, 9 assists, 2 turnovers. Like, partially that's just because of how good Braden Smith is, that's like an okay game, but it was also very much like you said, there was just so much pressure on him that I think it was good you pointed out the ball pressure, because yeah, a lot of these screens were happening closer to half court than the 3-point line. Now, some of it is, I think, Purdue's bigs and figuring out what they, as they are incorporating life without Edie. I think last year, what you'd see Purdue do a lot is screen and immediately rescreen against the hedge, just because that defender's usually out of position. Purdue wasn't able to get to that, and Marquette was able to recover. And so, yeah, now Braden Smith's operating from 30 feet instead of 20 feet, and that makes a big difference. Now those passes are longer. It just made life tough on him. And Braden Smith is so good that he's still able to get 11 points and 9 assists. Like, that's more of a just Braden Smith's that type of player at this point in his career. But no Purdue fan, I think, watching that would be like, oh man, Braden Smith was awesome. It was just like, oh yeah, Braden Smith was whatever. He didn't cost them the game, but he there was a lot of stuff he could have done to maybe help them win more.
Last year, this is one of these awesome matchups where two power conference players got to meet back-to-back years. You know, Marquette got to play Purdue last year, obviously a different team with the best player in the country no longer being there. One of the things that stood out to me is Stevie Mitchell last year, 5 points. This year, he was named the KenPom MVP of the game, and he scored 21 points. I know I'm asking you to look at your or jog your memory a lot from last year. What do you think? What do you think about the difference in the game? Is it as simple as last year you had Zach Edey and this year you don't have Zach Edey? Because I feel like that is like a lot of the answer. But I also want to give Marquette credit because they're missing their two best players from last year and they filled in. So how do you think Marquette was able to do that and Purdue wasn't? I don't know if that question makes sense, but I'm trying to think comparison from last year.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And I think Marquette has done a better job replacing Kolek and Iguodaro from last year. I would argue it's harder to replace Zach Edey, just given the uniqueness of him. But it's not easy to replace Kolek and Iguodaro from last year at all. And I think that's been the big thing on Purdue's end of like, just who exactly is going to be in the big room. We've seen a shift since then to more small ball, TK at the five. Caleb first is more of a 6'10 kind of linkier five that can play out in hedge and be more a little bit more mobile. But when you look at, so I'll start with defense, because I think for all like the Zach Edey like haters or Braden Smith, like his Zach Edey made those type of people, I think they always focus on the offense this offseason and they neglected the defense. And the defense is the bigger thing. Last year, the perimeter defense still wasn't great for Purdue. It's not good this year. And that's why like Stevie Mitchell just able to get into the paint whenever he wanted. Cam Jones, I mean, he ends up with 17 points, some of those a little bit in garbage time, but 10 assists, the triple-double, right? Like he got into the paint whenever he wanted. And the difference is last year, Zach Edey was there to cover up every single flaw. And there is not that for Purdue this year. Last year, the perimeter defense wasn't great, but Zach Edey was a top 10 defender in the country. I'll say that conservatively. And this year, there's no real rim protection proven. Caleb First is starting to get it a little bit. In that game, Wilberg wasn't the right matchup for him at all, with Ben Gold being able to space him out. TKR is not really a true rim protector. And so now when Stevie Mitchell or Cam Jones or whoever, especially Cam Jones, is getting into the paint, Purdue has to send tons of help. Now they kick out Marquette's plank from there. And that's where Marquette, like having Cam Jones I know it's not a one for one, but fill a lot of that role that Kolek had last year. Purdue just has not been able to really do it at all with what Edey is left.
Yeah. And I think that point about, not being able to protect the paint is perfect. Stephen Mitchell shot 5 of 10 on twos in this game. And there were several times he just drove his man one-on-one straight into the paint. We don't see that a lot from Stephen Mitchell, but the lack of backside help from Purdue was pretty obvious at that point. Where do you think Purdue goes from here, and how do you think this win ages for Marquette?
I think from probably in like an analytics standpoint of where Purdue's ranked, they're 15th in KenPom as I'm staring at this right now. I would expect Purdue to hover between 12 and like 22, 23, somewhere in that range. 18 to 20 probably feels like where they end up. It's going to be a good win for Marquette, and this is a Marquette team that I think is very, very good. Like Purdue has the win over Bama at home, which is big. Their tough tests really start coming up now with NC State and then BYU or Ole Miss, a couple Big Ten games, and then it's A&M and then Auburn. This should be a pretty good win for Marquette. I think Purdue's going to be – I think they're still trying to figure out what their true identity is. And I think to start the year especially, the first 3 to 4 games, it was still very much, hey, let's try to get a true big. Let's try to see if Will Burke can do this. Let's try to see Daniel Jacobson. He has a season-ending injury. That's obviously a big blow for that part of the roster for them. But it's starting, I think, to transition to, okay, we're just going to not give up defensively, but be like, you know what? Defense is not our calling card this year. We are just going to be really, really good offensively, play TK at the five, play Caleb first, who's more mobile, and just live with the results from there. So I think this is going to be a top 5 to 10 offense. It's going to be, I would guess, somewhere around 40th to 50th defensively. So still a very good team. We saw Bama go on the Final Four run last year. It's like, what were they? Number 2 offense and number like 101 defense.
Yeah.
That feels like last year's Bama team feels like close to the ceiling for this team of just like elite offense, good enough defense to get by. And that does allow Purdue to win games, especially when you have Brayden Smith. Like I think Brayden Smith's going to be an All-American. TKR is going to be borderline, if not just confidently all Big Ten. So they're still good players. It's still going to be a good team. Just not quite that elite team like last year.
With all that said about how good you expect this Purdue team to be, what do you think it was about this Marquette matchup that made it particularly hard for them?
Yeah, I think, like, I truthfully think Marquette is one of the worst matchups Purdue could probably go against, especially at this point in the year. Purdue struggles with athletic guards and wings, and Purdue has had some issues with turning the ball over a little bit already. Marquette forces a lot. And it's specifically that athleticism and that length, I think, because, right, in pick and roll, which is Purdue runs more pick and roll than basically anybody in the country right now. When you put two on the ball, some people think that's automatically a good thing because, okay, Brayden Smith's going to be rushing that. That's not the case. Look at even the Purdue's next game against Marshall. They put two on the ball the entire game, and Brayden Smith had, I think, 8 assists in the first 7 minutes. Like, I understand Marshall's not Marquette talent-wise, but it's because Marshall's backside defense wasn't good. And so now that length, that athleticism is there defensively. That's where Purdue was just like, they had nowhere to go. And then on the other end, we talked about it with Stevie Mitchell, with Cam Jones, like nobody could check those dudes at all. Simply put, whether it be pick and roll, whether it be ISO, whether it be drive and kick. And now they're attacking the closeout. Purdue did not have the size on the perimeter or the athleticism to really keep up with them. And so that's going to be Purdue's kryptonite. Is I don't think it's as much scheme as like, oh, just simply trap Brayden Smith. Like Purdue's going to be one of the best shooting teams in the country. They have TKR on the post. Like there's going to be ways for them to navigate that. It's do you put two on the ball while still having a lot of athleticism and length on the backside? That's what's going to give Purdue issues if teams can drive to the rim. And I don't know if that's a staple for Marquette, at least driving to the rim a lot, but in that game, it definitely was, and they took advantage.
Yeah, and you talk about length and athleticism, and you're talking Zaid Lowry, and you're talking Chase Ross, and you're talking Cam Jones, and I'm going to start calling them the trio of cornerbacks on this team because that's how they play in the game. You know, you mentioned a couple times that, you know, Purdue would get the advantage offensively, but then they'd have nowhere to go with the ball because these guys are playing passing lanes, and they're just looking to pick you off. Zaid Lowry was a wide receiver in high school. He had college offers. And I think we saw a lot of that. And Chase Ross is an NBA-level athlete. And he's just getting into these passing lanes. Those guys are a menace. If you throw a ball up there that doesn't have zip on it and doesn't have a clear intention to where it's going, those guys are going to get up there and go take the ball.
I think, Ryan, you've talked a lot about defensively how good Marquette was in this game. I thought offensively, and a lot of their players were incredible. Obviously, Stevie Mitchell, who has 21 points. I love that they're relying on him late in games. I know this game wasn't wildly close, but 8 of 8 from the line. He looks like the guy they're going to try to get to in foul situations. You have, you know, Cam Jones in this game gets a triple-double. I think that a lot of times when we hear about triple-doubles in college basketball, it's against North Dakota State University. No disrespect to the North Dakota State universities. This is a high major triple-double from Cam Jones, who just kind of took what the defense gave him in a lot of spots. I thought that this was the best and most determined Marquette has looked, although I haven't questioned any of their motor the entire game or entire year this far. And I think they showed a lot of leadership, at least Cam and Stevie did in this game. And I think it helped them a lot going into the next game.
I think this is a big time game, or this was a big game for Purdue. And just like, this feels like a very big learning experience. And there are a few teams I think with that are able to do what Marquette did to Purdue defensively, but I'm glad that they've seen it, especially some of these young guys. That was multiple, two or three players in the rotation. It was their first true road game too. So it was very good experience, I think, for Purdue just to be able to get that and kind of get punched in the mouth, to be honest, and just be like, all right, let's go from here.
Love it, Joe. Thank you so much for taking the time to jump on with us. Marquette fans, remember, we're rooting for Purdue from now on. We want them to end up the number two team on KenPom right behind Marquette, right? Yep. The better win that ends up being, it's better for the team. Everybody should check him out on Feed the Post. He's on YouTube. He's on Substack under that. He does amazing work. He breaks down the game and explains it in a way to help you understand and learn. I learn a lot when I listen to his videos. He's also Joe Jackson CBB on Twitter. Definitely check him out. He is worth he's worth more than one follow, but I can only follow him once. So you guys should also follow him. Joe, thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yes, sir. We'd love to have you back anytime.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And that was only half of the week that Marquette had. They decided to play 11 a.m. against Georgia on Flow Sports with announcers that could not hear each other, which I want to talk about for a little bit, to be clear. They could not hear each other. They played maybe one of the weirder games of their season, but they come across with a win because that's what good teams do. And they beat Georgia by 11, a Georgia team that then picked up a very nice win against St. John's later in the week. This team was led by David Joplin and Ben Gold shooting, especially, who shot a combined 10 of 20 from three. Do you want to start with the announcers or do you want to start with the game?
No, I'd like to start with Flow Sports. I've been waiting for you to cue me in so I could talk about Flow Sports here.
Well, it's kind of like Flow Sports where we don't have to actually talk to each other. We can just say what we were going to say anyway. And then whatever the other one says, we still just say whatever we were going to say.
Like, I get it. Like, Marquette only has limited control over these situations because, you know, the conference decides some stuff. And this wasn't part of any event, despite what Flow Sports thought. So an event didn't have any control. But I understand that there's other things at play. You cannot end up with a high major matchup during Feast Week on Flow Sports. You can't do it. You need to be better than that. I think Marquette's AD does a terrific job. I think Marquette's entire staff and president and everybody does a terrific job with the basketball team. This was a miss.
I actually didn't have a problem with the content the announcers were saying. Like, I really didn't. I didn't think either one of them were really dumb. I didn't think that they were like not. It was one of them would say Chase Ross with a nice dunk. And then the other one would look and say, Chase Ross with a cool dunk. And you'd be like, what? How are you? Like, do you hear each other? Or you both been told to announce this game like you're on your own and we're trying to mold them together? It was bizarro world for a long time. I didn't love the quality of it. I don't know how you could. And then I'm trying to watch on a stream, legal stream, FBI. And the announcers are way behind on what's going on. I don't know. You know what's I liken it to, I'm a big baseball fan. Apple TV does a product. I don't have Apple TV. Their product is really, really good though. So you know what? If I ever was considering getting Apple TV, my only thing would be like, yeah, Apple TV does a good thing. People bought Flow Sports to watch this game, and that is the product they saw. I would never recommend Flow Sports to a friend. Don't get it.
Anyhow, that's 2 minutes on Flow Sports, so we can talk about the basketball game at this point. And I think that the headliner has to be Cam Jones goes down with an apparent ankle injury, comes back in the game, plays a little while, goes down again. We don't know why, because again, the commentators don't tell us. All right, so it's 2 minutes and 5 seconds on Flow Sports. But he goes down again, comes out of the game, comes back in. Somebody said they thought he banged his knee, that he didn't re-injure the ankle. I don't know. He may have re-injured the ankle. I don't know what the answer is there, but he does play the rest of the game. But I thought that sometimes they deferred a little bit and didn't press as much as we see him sometimes.
7 more seconds. Cam Jones laying on the ground for about 5 seconds. Nobody says anything. And then they go, oh, Marquette player on the ground. He had been on the ground for like 10 seconds before that. Continuing. One of the things I've liked about Cam Jones this year, and I think we saw it a lot in that Purdue game, and this is where it gets a little hard, is he's deferring a lot. In that Purdue game where they had made it clear that their game plan was to stop him, he decided, I'm just going to get 10 assists. He has decided, and he picks his points where he chooses to take over the game, which I actually think, this isn't a new thing that he invented, but Tyler Kolek did that a lot last year. Tyler Kolek would come and he would allow players to be themselves, and he's a natural pass first point guard, Tyler is. But I thought in huge situations, Tyler would go and score, and he would go get you a bucket when he needed to. That Cam Jones is a much better gifted scorer, but I think Cam Jones has found out in order for this Marquette team to get to the levels he wants it to get to, he needs to empower other people, and as a leader of that team, do that. Now, to your point, how much of that is his mindset that he's had over, you know, part of the season, and how much of that is that he was hurt? I think we'll have a much better idea next game. But for right now, I'm going to try to err on the side of optimism and say Cam has been a little bit more in deference this year.
I wish you all could have seen his hand motions as he did that. It was quite a show. There was pointing to his head for mindset. There was a lot going on. You may be exactly right. And like you said, we'll find out more going into the next game, especially often with ankle injuries when the adrenaline wears off, then it starts to swell. That's when you start to have real problems. So I'm assuming we haven't heard anything. That's good news. So if we're not going to talk about Cam Jones, and we're not concerned about Cam Jones yet, we're going to talk about David Joplin putting up a career high. Was terrific in this game, not just offensively, but he found other ways to impact the game. But obviously what he did offensively was really impactful. And they, you know, there was times towards the end of the game where they were running sets for him. And you don't see that all the time, especially late in games when you have Cam Jones on the floor and you've had Tyler Kolek on the floor, you've had Osor Gidara on the floor. I thought this was one of the first times that you really see Shaka calling out sets for him. He hits a corner three. He drove the baseline a couple times. This is what Marquette needs from him. They need him to be the legitimate, set it and forget it, secondary scorer on this team. He cannot be up and down like he has been to this point. They need this every night.
It's almost maddening when you see him do this, because you're right, the running set plays where he's hitting turnaround one-footed jumpers. I mean, if you think of David Joplin as just a, you know, setup or a spot-up shooter, and then you see him play like this, you're really confused. And then you see him sometimes as a spot-up shooter who doesn't shoot the ball extremely effectively. You know, he could take over that game at any given point on several occasions. And, you know, he's in the post and he's doing it. He's obviously shot the three ball well. He's not going to always shoot 60% from three. You know, I think with a little more responsibility, he did turn the ball over 5 times. I think he was handling the ball a little bit more than he's used to. And got me in a comment. So if you're listening to this, someone said the Dawn dish soap should sponsor this because of the way that people are, the ball is sliding out of people's hands. Yeah. I guess I'll go with Ben Gold then. If I would also talk about a three, you know, he shoots 4 of 9 in this game. If he's going to be on the floor consistently, Ben Gold needs to be able to knock down the three and make the defense honest and make them go out there and guard him, especially because Cam wants to get downhill and you need to get that big out of the lane.
Yeah, other quick shout-outs. Chase Ross has 5 steals. Stevie Mitchell has 4 steals. I tweeted, I don't think there's a better defensive guard duo in the Big East between the two of them. They are terrorizing opponents through 6 games of the season so far. Zade Lowry played 10 minutes. I think he's really taken the first man off the bench role. Maybe Royce Parham, just because you need a big to back up. But I think Zade Lowry is the best player coming off the bench so far. And he's found ways to contribute in a lot of different ways. And Demaryius Owens plays 9 minutes. He continues to, I mean, I think this is only his 3rd game. I believe Maryland was the first game he played. And he keeps getting time and finding ways to contribute. He's a big, long wing. Shaka loves big, long wings. And, you know, they're doing what they need to do. This game got close at the end. I don't know. Personally, I was never that concerned. I felt like Marquette had been the better team the entire day. I felt like it was a weird, I mean, you know, you're talking Flow Sports, you're talking 11 a.m. tip. I don't know. Did you panic?
No, I never did in this game. It felt like David Joplin had a response in a lot of ways. And then you're always just sitting there and going, well, Cam can get you. Cam will figure it out. He was in a little bit of foul trouble. I don't know if there was a sequence at the end of the game where Stevie Mitchell had a steal on one end of the court and he was running back up the court, but screaming and yelling how excited he was defensively. The team doesn't lack poise at all. They're slapping floors. It's an 11 a.m. game in the Bahamas. It's a one-off, which we thought was very confusing.
Shaka wanted to take the boys to the Bahamas.
And he did. And you have the great videos after of Cam on a boat. I have made fan fiction again with this team that they are all going to be in each other's weddings. That they are all best friends for life, that it'll be a grown-ups type situation when Shaka passes away in 90 years, where they all go to and they all reenact the glory days, because that's what it seems like this team's about.
And literally Stevie and Cam are doing a podcast together, and you all should listen to that. Frankly, you should listen to it before you listen to this one, because how fucking cool is that? I listen to it every time they come out with it.
Oso wears Stevie's number. Tyler Kolek wears Oso's number. This core is so special that I think we'll always look back on it and we'll say, you know, remember these guys and who they were. You'll remember the starting five from the Big East regular season championship, the Big East tournament championship. And this team has a chance to be just as special.
Yeah, not to show our bias a little bit, but we are from Connecticut. When Connecticut won their first national championship, everybody pointed at these players that had come before in Hurley's tenure and said, even though they're not on the team, you know, this winning the national championship is because of them. You know, God willing, they win the national championship this year. But if they don't, and Cam Jones and Stevie leave after the year, whatever success comes later in this program, they'll point back to these guys, to Tyler and Oso and Cam and Stevie and David, and they'll say, they're the guys who built it. They're the guys who set the culture. And even though they're not on the team anymore, we still feel their impact years later.
Yeah, absolutely. In the same way that they sometimes still credit players like Dwayne Wade for some of their success, for putting them on the map in a certain way. I know they had won a championship before this, the Marquette Golden Eagles. I am not that obtuse on history for the Marquette Golden Eagles, but you know, it made going to Marquette cool again. And I think that these guys have done it again. But hey, they got to go out there and they have every chance to make this season wildly special. I do think, Rye, we might not see Cam play in their next game. They are playing Stonehill College. I think they beat Stonehill College no matter what. And then Western Carolina.
So you mentioned history. Pizzo, who we all love, was nice enough to DM us a lot of history about Marquette, just as background, because he knew we were doing this project and he wanted us to have some information from before our time. And he talked a lot about Al McGuire and some of his sayings. So I decided to look up Al McGuire, and if you've never looked up Al McGuire quotes, incredible. And I wanted to share one of the quotes today. My rule was I wouldn't recruit a kid if he had grass in front of his house. That's not my world. My world has a cracked sidewalk. Which is actually a great reference to one of the Marquette Twitter personalities. Tyler, I don't know if you had heard that quote before, and that's where it came from.
I had not heard it before. I've heard quotes similar from that, but that is very... And I think Shaka is rebuilding a culture. Shaka is continuing that culture.
Anyhow, we'll move past Al McGuire and talk about this season, the week that's coming up. And you're absolutely right. They do have a couple low majors, Stonehill, Western Carolina, Wednesday and Saturday. So this is a time for Shaka to relax, to play his bench, to play his freshmen, to get them more reps. To try to, you know, now that he has an understanding of who this team is, to try to flesh it out a little bit. And then the following week, it's Iowa State and Wisconsin. So, and then after that is Dayton and Butler. So you have one, it's the eye of the storm here, right? You went through a very tough week. You have a brief break and you're going straight into two more tough weeks.
Yeah, I like that he plays these three really hard games, takes two off, and then plays three really hard games and before he gets in the conference. Shock has stacked W's to the point. I don't want to say this because I don't think anyone's thinking that there's a possibility. Like, they're already a tournament team. Like, because of your win over Purdue, Georgia, and Maryland, like, your resume, you probably have two quad one wins and maybe a third of Georgia can keep improving. Obviously there's so much season. Yes, if you lose every game, you're not a tournament team. So I'm all in on this. I'm all in on Marquette right now. Iowa State's a really, really good game. It's a really good team. This is, you know, that's gonna be one of the last times where they're not favored in a basketball game for the whole season. So interested how they do when they go into Iowa State for that matchup, because playing there is a whole different matchup than, you know, getting them to come to Fiserv.
And then the following Saturday is Wisconsin. It's a great time to be a Marquette fan. Obviously, what they've done this season so far has been incredible. And we can't wait to continue joining with you guys every week to talk about it.
Absolutely. And as always, thanks for pulling up a stool.